News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A massive search continues for seven inmates still on the run after breaking out of a New Orleans jail Friday morning. Louisiana State Police in a post say three other escapees were captured and transported to a secure state correctional facility outside the area. ABC's Maria Villarreal says authorities believe the escapees had help.
The sheriff is adamant this group had help inside and outside the jail, and they're going to keep digging to find out how this all happened. We do know so far three of the jail employees have been suspended.
A deadly night of severe storms in the Midwest and South. Nearly three dozen are dead across Missouri, Kentucky, and Virginia. Search and rescue operations are still ongoing in St. Louis, and the mayor says damage is widespread. The New Jersey transit strike now in day two, with 450 train engineers off the job demanding higher pay. Today, the union and transit leaders are expected to meet. This is ABC News. In California, police say they've arrested five people believed to be part of an international crime ring.
Irvine, California police say four men and one woman, all from Colombia, are now in custody in connection with a burglary that took place last month. Homeowner Guolin Wong says he caught them on home security camera, dressed as delivery workers.
I would never imagine these things could happen, because it not just shocked my family, the whole neighborhood.
Police were able to recover hundreds of thousands of dollars in suspected stolen property and say the group may be connected to five other burglaries in Southern California. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Cassie Ventura, the ex-girlfriend of Sean Diddy Combs, concluded her testimony Friday in his sex trafficking and racketeering trial. Ventura told jurors this week that Combs allegedly abused her and coerced her into taking part in sex parties. Combs has pleaded not guilty to charges and denies the allegations. The trial resumes Monday. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The biggest thing that happens in Wisconsin's state government every 2 years is the state budget. And last week at the state capitol, Republican lawmakers took a step forward in the process by voting out more than 600 measures from Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal. This has become a familiar step in this era of divided government. This is now the fourth budget proposal that Evers has put forward, and each one has been met with a similar fate. Even as this has become the custom, it doesn't have to be this way. Republicans could honestly engage with this budget and debate it on its merits. There are good, smart proposals here on everything from health care to education to child care to environmental protection. And if there are items here they disagree on, make the case. Have the debate. But by voting everything out and starting from scratch, they are letting down the people of Wisconsin they are elected to represent by refusing to have this debate on a very basic level. We should expect better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and data shows Wisconsin kids are in crisis. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The report from the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health shows the numbers have increased dramatically over the past 10 years. While rates of anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts went up across the board, girls saw an overall higher increase. Wisconsin boys, however, are 2 to 4 times more likely to die by suicide than girls, according to the report. Amy Marsman says these trends are worse for LGBTQ plus students and students of color.
They feel less connected to their school and less likely to report that they feel they belong at their school. So we know that there are target populations that we should really focus on.
Marsman says teens are also getting less sleep than ever before, which is foundational to their mental health. More than 20% of teens reported self-harm, and nearly 25% of girls reported seriously considering suicide, according to the report. Marsman says factors like rising food insecurity, particularly among students of color, also play a significant role. She says additional support during the pandemic helped to eliminate food insecurity gaps, but now Black kids in Wisconsin are 5 times more likely to be hungry than white kids.
Some of these everyday situations really impact youth mental health, whether you're getting enough sleep, whether you are getting enough to eat, whether there's financial stability in your household. All of those are factors, and they are disproportionately impacting kids of color.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. Breezy out of the west. We'll see a high near 60 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows around 45. Mostly sunny, mid-60s for Sunday. For Monday, slight chance of a shower. Otherwise, clouds and 60. Rain is likely on Tuesday.
It's 60 at our studios.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will join us to talk about resources for Wisconsin farmers. Please don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, it's Saturday. Bang your head with busted pencils. Fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Loving being here on a Saturday, my two bros. Jacob, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Tim. I've been surprised by the amount of times that one of you or the other has needed me to fill in as the faux educator, but I've tried my best, and hopefully people haven't noticed too steep a quality drop in recent episodes.
I would say there's been no quality drop. There's been a quality addition, Jacob, because, you know, you're giving us that perspective, and I got to imagine listeners are kind of like, wait a minute, those are the questions I wanted to ask those two dudes for the longest time. Thank goodness for Jacob being in the house, because if it wasn't for Jacob, those two would just blather on forever and ever thinking that they're always, I don't know, you name it. Johnny Lupinacci, how you doing Saturday?
Hey, man, it's great. It's another week. It's beautiful, been beautiful weather. We've been getting some rain out here in eastern Washington, which I know people think about Washington and they think about rainy Seattle on the west side, but it's pretty dry over here on the east side of the state. And so it's always fun to have, you know, consecutive days of some rain and getting things all watered. It's been nice. It's been a very nice transition, as I was mentioning this week in class and session, from my regular grind of a school year, which is a pretty intense one, mm-hmm. to, you know, just working locally with a group of teachers. And they're about to be teachers. It's a MIT 1-year program. So working with them and kind of wrapping up the academic school year and transitioning into the off season for us teachers, which is, you know, when we retool and we set our compass for what is it we want to learn and get ready for me, August, when we're back at it full time. So really enjoying that transition and been able to talk with a lot of teachers, which is how I like to spend every May.
Yeah, you've been talking a lot to teachers, you know, and I'm glad you have your compass, because I typically try to either use my soapstone or a divining rod, because, you know, the accuracy of those types of things. But Johnny, you're finding out, you know, we were talking about this during the break and, you know, over the last couple of days. And in fact, you mentioned it in class and session that, you know, the conversations that you've been having with, you say, these future teachers, these people, you know, they're done. They're going to be a teacher, you know, and their concerns. And it was interesting to hear what you were saying their concerns were, because anybody who's been listening to this show for, you know, the last, well, forever, right, is going, well, we know what teachers' concerns are who are about to be teachers. It's blank, 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 and blank. But that's kind of not really what's happening. And I mean, before we dig into this, Johnny, I mean, you know, give us some insight. What are these future new teachers saying they're concerned about?
Well, some of them are future new teachers, Tim, but every you know, starting in April every year and then all of May and then most of June, part of my, I call it the off season. You know, I think about everything in terms of sports, like chairman of the board, Jacob has his Habs hat on, his Montreal Canadian loyalty. I love it. Original six team who are having a big off season this year. They made an unexpected playoff appearance. You know, they're building, they're young, they're a phenomenal program and they have deep history and they utilize their off season to really hone in on what are the things they want to do to be even bigger and badder and better next year, next season. And that's kind of how I approach, you know, my teaching, Tim, is, you know, I'm a researcher in education and I'm a teacher educator and I'm also a teacher. And, you know, we talked about it here on Busted Pencils before. What makes us educated educators? Well, before I got my PhD, even while I was working on my PhD, I was a teacher, right? And so it's my primary identity is like, hey, I'm a teacher. And one thing I know about my job, about teachers learning, teaching teachers, is that teachers learn the most. And hold on to your, like, buckle up. This is going to be earth shattering. That's me using the sarcasm, Tim.
I know. Well, I'm going to say you're about to say when they attend Tim and Johnny's classes. Well, on
kind of true, but I don't know about our classes, but certainly when they're listening to Busted Pencils, because every teacher out there, in fact, every listener is going to be like, well, duh. But, you know, scientific consensus, researchers have shown us that one of the only things that we have statistical significance on. So we have like mathematical representation, which doesn't mean all the other stuff we do isn't important. But the only thing we have direct evidence on having an impact on change in teachers, like how teachers teach their instruction, which ultimately leads then to student achievement. But the only proof we have that teachers are learning new things is that when they learn new things and try them in their classrooms. So they move beyond just playing school, like being able to take a test or being able to, you know, write an essay or turn in a lesson plan or, you know, perform for their college teachers. They when they actually are making changes in how they teach, right? The only evidence we have of that happening is when there's been a significant amount of time, and I can get into the hours. It's actually over 100 plus hours of talking with other teachers about their teaching specifically related to students that they have. So when you hear teachers say, well, I learned the most when I was in my, when I finally got out of school and I was in my classroom.
Right.
One of the things that they're saying is they were connected with actual learners and they were in conversation, hopefully through professional learning communities or just social gatherings, they're in conversation with other teachers. So when teachers talk with other teachers about their teaching, that is sort of, if we were to say, is there a silver bullet in how teachers learn? It's that. Need more conversation about teaching that teachers are having with other teachers. So obviously, yeah, Tim, so when you're listening to Busted Pencils, it's kind of like being in conversation with other teachers, which means it has most likely more of a chance of impacting change in education than hold on to my seat, than my amazing 2-hour social studies. At best, I tell my students, and I say this, and I believe we do more teacher educators out there. Like the same goes for like if you're a biology teacher in college or anything, like the more your students are actively engaged in conversation with one another, in a learner identity. So, hey, I'm going to be, you know, a biologist, or, hey, I'm going to be, you know, a nurse or something, where they directly have an identity around that learning and they're actively engaged in conversation with one another. They're learning. They're that's the kind of stuff that's going to stay with them. The information that you share with them related to those conversations is going to stay with them as they go into their careers. So more dialogue, which shouldn't be a shock. People are like, well, yeah, you know, when I was a plumber, Tim, when did I learn the most about new things in plumbing? It was talking to other plumbers about what was working and what wasn't working and what do they do when X, Y, and Z happens. So that shouldn't be earth shattering for our listeners. But given that, Tim, comes back around to what you were asking me. So a good off season a program like the Habs, like the Montreal Canadiens that I'm calling the Habitans, that H in the middle of the C stands for that. You know, they're identifying their coaching staff, their trainers, their players. They're kind of figuring out what are the gaps, what are the things they need to work on, and how are they going to work on those in the off season. So similar as, you know, a member of a team of teacher educators and as an educational researcher, every April, May, and June, I'm talking with teachers, hundreds of them. I'm asking them, veteran teachers, new teachers, future teachers, parapros, people in schools, principals, talking to educators about, you know, their teaching. What have they seen as the most important stuff they would like to talk to other teachers about? What are the things that they found really difficult this past year? What are the things they'd like to learn more about? What kind of inquiries do they have? What kind of things are they doing to make their teaching better? What are their interests? What are their aha moments and successes this past year? And Tim, you know, by and large, for several, close to a decade now.
Yeah, at least.
The primary thing that everybody says I want to learn more about.
Right.
Like maybe the super duper veterans out there. But by and large, the most dominant topic that emerges from this is classroom management. They say, Johnny, man, oof, I could use some more support with classroom management. I'd like to learn more about this classroom management or retool my classroom management system. Well, that's been by and large the number one topic that teachers are wanting to talk about with other teachers. But the past couple of years, this has changed, you know? So I have two new topics that have eclipsed that, Tim. So okay. I'm going to bury those for a minute. We'll get to them, but yeah. I see you want to jump in. And
Well, it's, you know, you really for the listener out there to hear what you just said, classroom management, first of all, what controlling the classroom. I hate to use that word, but
I mean,
it's the behavior of the students. How do you know? And I remember this learning to become a teacher. You know, how do we get in line to go to gym class? How do we sharpen our pencils? All those things, which really, really, really sound like trivial. It's like, because orchestrating that flow really has a distinct and, you know, really kind of a connection to how well teaching and learning can occur. And really, like you said, especially new teachers are always, in fact, I would say one of the things that we typically, Johnny, as methods professors, or at least me, and then you could back me up on this, is that I sometimes get kind of like, look, stop worrying about the darn management. You're going to figure that out. Listen to the stuff I'm trying to talk to you about, the importance of the content and all those things. But the reality is like, no, that's where they are. I understand where they're coming from. And as you said, Johnny, decade, it's more than a decade. I guess if we did a longitudinal kind of research survey of what's the number one concern, it has some type of sense of saying, man, I just wish I understood how to get things to work more smoothly so I could do much more engaging learning. But Johnny, you hinted maybe something's starting to shift. And I tell you what, if you're out there and you're a teacher listening going, I know what Johnny's going to say. Hey,
I bet they do.
Stay tuned, you know, because we're going to be back. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk.
From the center, WRCE.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You love that music on a Saturday. Or if you're downloading anytime, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated, Educators Talking, Education, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, Chairman of the Board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. We are here. Man, we're putting it together, you know, end of a, you know, another school season. I know some teachers are out there going, I got a few more weeks. We know, but a lot of the future teachers who are, you know, graduating this week, last week, next week, particularly, right? Johnny's spending a lot of time with them, getting a lot of their concerns and what it is they're talking about. And John, we spent the whole first segment saying, like, look, for eons, you could predict if you put 10, you know, particularly future teachers in a room and say, what's your biggest concern for next year? 9 of them would have said, as you pointed out, some form of classroom management.
Yeah, okay. Some aspect. It's been forever, Tim, and you hit the nail on the head. I believe it's gone back even further than my, you know, I'm about 10 years into this every April, May, June.
Well,
I talk to all the teachers I can, just fill my time with, you know, interviewing teachers to learn about what are their top sort of concerns, what are their big successes for the year, what are the things that they felt they struggled with and could use support in or more, you know, information about. And as long as I've been doing that, which mm-hmm. you hinted at, it goes way back even.
Well, I was gonna say I uncovered this text, a really old text, and there's some guy named Socrates, and he was like, I can't get them to sit still and pay attention.
Well, I mean, this does come up to an age old. It has, you know, like themes emerge for a reason. And it's not because, well, I'll tell you what, all these people becoming teachers just aren't good at managing kids. It's because all behavior is a form of communication. And how we've talked about it on here, Tim, schooling versus education, talking about ways that we might, as educators, emancipate education from schooling, you know, get to the learning. But so much of schooling systemically is about controlling kids. And so much about being a kid is resisting being controlled, as it should be, especially when we start to talk about like middle school and high school and like preteen and adolescent, you know, behaviors. It is absolutely like on par for the mark for young people to be like, this is not what I want my body to be doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the structure of schooling has worked against learning for ages. And so that's sort of part of the merging process. Also, you know, you mentioned this, Tim, like most classroom management is presented in sort of the expectation that many teachers are faced with is controlling kids, which is a losing battle.
Right.
You know, we can even be optimistic and say, in your classroom of 23 students, which we know teachers out there, you're probably chuckling because you're like, try more like 40.
Yeah.
You know, some states, education, remember, is a state, right? So it's, you know, it varies from state to state and even within our states from district to district. But ideally, you know, we have larger class sizes, and the whole idea of putting everybody in the room who were born around the same time in one space with like one adult, maybe that adult, especially when that adult's like maybe a new teacher, it's like 22 years old.
Right.
You also like, hey, 22 year old, you're in charge of these, you know, 30 some, you know, 12 year olds all in one space, you know? So the deck is stacked against the teachers, but you know, you hit the nail on the head, you know, classroom management too often is been, you know, framed in, sort of positioned as managing, you know, controlling kids. And controlling kids is not the same thing as engaging them.
Right.
You know, like those two things work against one another. Great teachers out there are like, well, yeah, I know this. Of course, this is the thing. So that, let's put a pin in that for now. That's still hot topic. But it is not the only by far front runner. In fact, it's been eclipsed. It's been passed by two topics, Tim, that are almost dead even right now. If I'm just to count up how many teachers sort of said the top thing I'd like to spend more time on with other teachers talking about and learning about, two new topics. I wouldn't say they're new, but new front runners, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't surprise me, but it's also giving some validation, Tim, to the conversations we have here on Busted Pencils. Here are the two, and then let's dig into them a bit because I bet like you and I can talk forever about each one. So not that classroom management per se, you know, the systems we put to practice in our classroom to engage students as learners isn't important, but lately it's been eclipsed by two things. And I think all three of these things are related, but let's get to the two new front runners. First, like slightly in first place.
Slightly.
But I mean, these two topics I'm about to drop are right up at the top with one another. The first, Tim, is the political climate and its impact on their classrooms. More specifically, how can I teach things I know kids want to and need to be learning about in this political climate, whether it's history or whether it's science? There's just a number of topics. Teachers feel that there's external political pressure, maybe even consequences for teaching things. It ranged anywhere from, you know, about gender, about, you know, diversity, about diverse cultures, about history, like U.S. history. It, you know, everything they feel like the impact of the polarization of our culture politically has become really like a heavy weight on them, a concern to them. How can I teach what I know is my best? It's almost like saying, you know, medical professionals take a Hippocratic oath to, you know, to provide the best possible healthcare to everyone. And teachers, we similarly come into teaching with a similar kind of oath, like do no harm and teach the best available knowledge, the best available things to our children, whether that's, hey, we've learned so much. I'll use a pretty non-political example. As a science teacher, I learned about plate tectonics very differently than I would teach it now in high school, because we've learned more from the scientific community about the Earth's, you know, plate systems and how they work and sort of their histories and what's going on there. So like things change as new information provides us with better scientific consensus to teach in the classroom. Teachers feel like so many topics have been polarized in the current politics, and it's not just Trump, right? We can get to that, but it's definitely, I think, escalated it to the first and foremost concern that teachers have. So they're asking, by and large, I'll simplify it, how can I teach what I know to be the best knowledge, the things my students need to be citizens in our community, support our democracy in this current political time? They're concerned about parents being overly upset, about school board, you know, overreach, about all these kinds of things.
Is that all part of number one? Because let's get to two before we get into
that's number one. And let me drop two, and then we'll probably have to head into a break. Yeah. And then we'll come back and we'll dig into these. The second, Tim, this is near and dear to your research, my guy, so I'm excited to get your input, is that teachers are asking, how can I be healthy and keep doing this work? How can I take care of myself? How can I balance my workload? How can I stay teaching? Because it's getting harder and harder for me to do so.
Man, I don't know, but we'll have a lot more when we get back. Busted Pencils.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A massive search continues for seven inmates still on the run after breaking out of a New Orleans jail Friday morning. Louisiana State Police in a post say three other escapees were captured and transported to a secure state correctional facility outside the area. ABC's Maria Villarreal says authorities believe the escapees had help.
The sheriff is adamant this group had help inside and outside the jail, and they're going to keep digging to find out how this all happened. We do know so far three of the jail employees have been suspended.
A deadly night of severe storms in the Midwest and South. Nearly three dozen are dead across Missouri, Kentucky, and Virginia. Search and rescue operations are still ongoing in St. Louis, and the mayor says damage is widespread. The New Jersey transit strike now in day two, with 450 train engineers off the job demanding higher pay. Today, the union and transit leaders are expected to meet. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Brewers and the Twins tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers host the hottest team in baseball right now, the Minnesota Twins, who've won 12 in a row. Last night, the Twins beat the Crew 3-0. But manager Pat Murphy was impressed with how 26-year-old right-hander Chad Patrick held up through six innings.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff to pitch up here and pitch into big situations. I mean, yeah, he didn't have his best stuff early. He'll be the first to tell you I was behind in the count. I didn't throw the ball great. They battled for the last four innings and got through it.
I asked Patrick if he was able to move on despite giving up a pair of runs early on.
Yeah, after the second inning, I was just trying to get as deep as I possibly could. Just, you know, got to control what I can control out there and execute what I'm trying to do.
And the Brewers made a trade with the Yankees, bringing back lefty Rob Zastrzynski, who was with the team last summer. They've optioned reliever Elvis Piguero. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. Breezy out of the west. We'll see a high near 60 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows around 45. Mostly sunny, mid-60s for Sunday. For Monday, slight chance of a shower. Otherwise, clouds and 60. Rain is likely on Tuesday.
It's 60 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. After the election of liberal-leaning Justice Janet Prosewitz in 2023, Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate maps were challenged in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and subsequently thrown out as unconstitutional. But justices passed on a challenge to the congressional districts. With April's election of liberal Justice Susan Crawford, pro-voter groups are trying again for a fairer congressional voting map. In early 2024, the legislature ignored six fairer maps and adopted Democratic Governor Tony Evers' least change compromise map, later allowed to stand by the U.S. Supreme Court. GOP candidates were elected to six of eight congressional districts with only 50% of the statewide vote in 2024. Two challenges were filed May 7th and 8th, one by the Elias Group contending that the least change directive had no basis in the Wisconsin Constitution, and the second by the Campaign Legal Center argues that Evers' map ignored traditional redistricting norms, splits too many counties, and didn't equally apportion the districts. A record $100 million was spent by both sides in the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The current margin in the U.S. House is 220 Republicans to 213 Democrats. We've linked to the filings and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the new Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and artist-actor Steve Segrin joins the program. Now that's how you Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back. Busted Pencils. Tim, Johnny, Jacob. Fully Leaded. Education Talk. Educated Educators. Talking Education. Talking Teachers. Teachers' Concerns. Did a nice kind of history lesson, you know, for the longest time. If you're just joining us, you know, the number one concern of particularly future and new teachers, Johnny said, maybe, you know, some of the real tested veterans, not so much, but some form of what we call classroom management, you know, keeping things organized so that the flow works out, so that, you know, when it comes time for me to teach my lesson on the Boston Tea Party, I can really teach well and not have to worry about, you know, who's over there, where they're doing. So, you know, and that's a big issue. And you say, you know, sometimes it's like, well, that sounds really trivial. But, you know, when it comes to really digging deep into a, you know, a real teaching context, those are things that you say, and we know there are veterans out there who've got this down, and they know that it is absolutely important to really great, effective instruction. But here now, Johnny, you're saying, you know, all this time you're out there spending time with, you know, future teachers, new teachers, current teachers, you know, always hearing what it is. It's like this year, though, holy crap, the concern for classroom management, it's still a concern. Just going to put that out there. But that it's been eclipsed.
Yeah, it's been passed up by the two topics we dropped last segment, right?
Yeah, and I think about this too. And, you know, the one is back to, you know, you had said, number one, what do I teach? You know, the political climate. And this just reminds me so much of the conversations we've had with Randy Weingarten and how she's, you know, they're just absolutely saying, like, stop making classrooms a battleground. And that's what she's talking about there. Yeah. And then, Johnny, you know, we just snuck this in right before the break. And as you're saying during the break, I mean, this is all related, but then teachers being concerned of how do I keep myself well? How do I take care of myself in this moment? Because, man, and you said, you know, close to my research, and I'd say, yeah, you know, and this is pre-pandemic, and I'll just put this out, you know, I interviewed well over 400 teachers across the country about their kind of conception, and, you know, they're definitely rank up, but they were overwhelmingly acknowledging that particularly at that moment, and this is pre-COVID, that their mental health was seriously in jeopardy, and that they knew that, and they were concerned about being able to keep going if something didn't happen. That research was completed in like 2019. So yeah. Knowing that, and now, Johnny, you're saying, hey, Tim, it's up there now in the top two.
Yeah, and I'll talk about it a little bit more specifically, and we can get back into that number one topic of like, how can we teach what we know to be the information as best information for our students, given this political polarization. You know, Jacob's brought up, like, we are having this conversation in the midst of a culture war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have this real polarization around, like, what ought to be the future of this country. And Randy Weingarten, I think, states this well. A classroom should not be a battleground for that. Mm-hmm. And it has become a battleground. So that's that number one thing we can come back to, because it is related to the other two things. But the second one I dropped at the end of the last segment, that's close to your research around, hey, forever, there's been all these headlines out there saying new teacher shortage. And Tim, you were saying so eloquently over the years, like, hey, I have research that it's not a shortage. It's an exodus.
Yeah.
You know, we have a real problem with retaining teachers in this country because it's physically and emotionally disastrous to stay teaching. Right. It has actual health implications and all kinds of things. So the kinds of things that teachers are talking about, and I think the reason why the topic has moved so to the forefront is one, the pandemic. I mean, that's brought to the, you know, to the attention of all of the teachers, like, how can I keep doing this? Because it's gotten harder to be a teacher, and it was already a difficult job. It's gotten harder. And the awareness of one's health is pretty paramount. Like, you can't do this job sick. And we've been a country who's experienced, I mean, the world experienced a global pandemic, but I'd still say we're in that era where there's just to so much illness.
There's so much illness.
Communities. So that's one. The other is the other aspect of that is, I mean, this came up quite a bit, and this is also not new, but it's like enough already, is that, you know, as a teacher, we want our students to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And we also want to feel safe at work. And we can't skirt around the issue that not a week goes by where somewhere in our country, there's a school shooting.
Gun violence. I mean,
this is, so teachers are speaking specifically around like increased anxiety, mm-hmm. around if those shootings have been close, and all of them in some form are tangent to us. I mean, a classroom is a classroom is a classroom, mm-hmm. you know? And so whether that's happened, you know, 3 hours away or, you know, 3 minutes away, it's been, you know, it's been anxiety inducing to say the least. It probably, and I know this for a fact, I can say, you know, it's created for people, you know, a set of traumas. And so there is a dialogue going on around like, how are we going to keep doing this job? Like what, like almost a reckoning. Is it really, can I keep doing this? Am I okay? So on one hand, I'm excited that teachers are acknowledging it, but I feel a deep, heavy, almost sorrow. It's a call to action to say, like, I think you felt this when you were talking to teachers about their exodus. Like, come on, what can we do?
What I was going to say that too, you know, and again, you're reminding me too, good friends, partners of the show, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, just always telling her, it's like, look, teachers are not well, you know, and what they need to do. And Johnny, though, I want to see if I can bring this where you were talking a little bit after the break, and is that concern for wellness too, you know, and Teacher and Joanna, there are things out there and teachers are trying, or at least were, you know, mindfulness, meditations and things like that, yoga, you know, and they're trying to do that. But you even pointed out, and I get this, that even the potential of, let's just use mindfulness, right, to come into that, it's not safe potentially in a culture war setting to talk about doing something like that because of some form of a connotation potentially that, oh, my teacher is into mindfulness and therefore they must be doing some kind of religious thing that goes against. And so then you think about it, it's like, wait, so teachers can't even practice wellness in the open. And you're like, okay, that in and of itself creates another level of unhealthy anxiety because now I'm trying to keep myself well, I'm doing the things, and now, boy, I need to be concerned about how that is perceived. And Johnny, I'm really glad you brought that up, though, too, about the whole idea of, like, you know, teachers do now, and I hear this regularly, and this is put into the wellness, spend a lot of their time thinking about school shootings in ways that never could have happened because it now feels really real. And like you talked about this, and, you know, we know the show comes out of Wisconsin. In fact, Madison, Wisconsin, on the map this year with the school shooting. And at that time, I said, you know, this is how we know school shootings really are. When people go, oh, it's an overblown worry, it's an overblown concern. It's now like one in three people have some connection to a family or somebody who has been in a school shooting now. And so that brings it home. You know, it used to be, it's like, oh, that happened way over there. But I remember at Parkland when Parkland happened, and I was looking at this and going like, oh my God, a really close friend of mine, that's her child is there. And in fact, she got on Facebook. There's that direct connection. And then the Madison shooting, I was there for 9 years working in the Madison area. So the realities, you know, people are like, well, these teachers are just worried. No, they're not just worried. You know, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, they're not well, and we need to spend time helping them get well. So Johnny, when you tell me that, you know, the political climate and the concern for their wellness have really surpassed the, you know, this idea of management, I'm not surprised at all, because I'll go back to that research I did way before the pandemic. They were saying it then.
Yeah. And to see the way that these three topics, if we were to kind of group them that way, kind of work in connection with one another, right? If I'm a teacher and I'm always going to have this sort of tension, because we can say over decades it's been there, and, you know, we could say like, hey, if I'm really thinking about how do I engage my students rather than have them in a form of compliance, how am I, you know, framing my classroom, you know, to be a space? Well, we know this. If you're well, Educators Amplified come out and talk about this, and it's brilliant. You know, if you're regulated, if you're healthy, if you're calm, if you're, you know, prepared mm-hmm. and supported and you're well, you have a fighting chance of helping model that for your students, especially if, you know, you're able to structure a system that helps keep your classroom engaging and regulated. And I don't mean regulated with a big set of rules. I mean, like our nervous system's regulated so that children, and I'll kind of even say like young adults, our adolescent learners as well, can get into a groove of like, whew, I'm in this space. Like I'm present, I'm calm. You know, I can identify what my needs are and I can have those needs met and figure out how to be a learner in this space, how to be amongst others in the classroom. You know, that's all stuff that if we're able to do that, well, we have to feel comfortable in our ways of doing that. And so, you know, if my classroom's been made a battleground, that's already working against that possibility politically, right? If I can't quite teach the way or what I want to teach, or I'm not able to be well because not only the structure of the school, but also, you know, the politics around that. You just gave the perfect example. Let's say for me, it's like I have to, you know, make sure I drink plenty of water. This has historically been, you know, medical practitioners will not joke about this, but they'll say like, they'll talk about, oh, teachers have these particular medical ailments,
right?
Because of their lack of access to water and bathrooms and things like that. And so, you know, they talk about teacher bladders or teacher kidneys and things like this. And so, you know, if we have like a flippant label for ailments that teachers are going through, I mean, it should be telling us something that the work conditions for teachers are not healthy. And if they're not healthy, it sort of stacks the deck against these other things. So I hate to be excited about this because it's a sad thing, but I am glad that it's on the minds of so many teachers. Like it is ever apparent to them that their job is becoming harder and harder to do in these current times. And that's not me just, you know, saying this is why school is, you know, not going well, because I think that teachers rise up and make it work. But at what cost? And that they're aware of that cost. You know, in the past couple of years, Tim, we've seen retired teachers called back to the classroom and collectively saying, no, we want to help. But the only way we're going to help is tough love, is not filling in these gaps and covering these, you know, these shortages. Right. Because if we continue to keep it this way, nothing will change.
Right.
And they have the big 10,000 foot view as veteran teachers, you know, our best of our best who retire, who say, I could feasibly come back.
Yeah.
But then it will not change. And what I experienced as a teacher is not something I want all these future teachers to have to go through, because I believe our schools can be better. So, I mean, the three really work like together, and that's mm-hmm. kind of how these powerful things happen. So hopefully, Tim, given that we're identifying these, you know, listeners out there, we can, you know, find solidarity in them, you know, some unity and make them priorities for school change.
Yeah. That's why you're listening to Busted Pencils. Change. You can make it when you're listening. Hey, in fact, come on back. One more segment, Busted Pencils.
From the Center, WRCE.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect to people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people in D.C. without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I know you're dancing right now. Yeah, it's Buster Pencil, fully landed education talk, educated educators, talking education. Dr. Tim Slicker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and of course, Jacob, chairman of the boards. In fact, Jacob, you've now had to sit through essentially a Tim and Johnny lecture.
I've had the privilege of sitting through a Tim and Johnny lecture.
All right, and what are you making of what we're talking about?
I'm making that I'm not going to get into teaching anytime soon until some problems are addressed. It sounds like a difficult gig.
Johnny?
And I thought show management of just two people was difficult. But you're telling me, you know, manage 30 little rugrats like yourselves. That would be tough.
That's okay. I don't know if we've succeeded then, Johnny, because we're concerned. We're putting these out there, but, you know, Jacob's right. I mean, when people hear this, it actually works as, you know, an advertisement for why not to become a teacher. And that's not our intention here on Busted Pencils. The intention, again, is to bring, you know, a focus so that we can talk about this, not to go, here's the reality and boy, you're going to hate it, but to go, this reality must change, and there are ways to change, and there are people out there making lots of efforts, and in fact, we need to spend more time advocating for the things that make teaching and learning a healthy place to be. And John, I want to put this together and say, because if we don't, the health of our democracy is what's in jeopardy, along with the health of teachers, the health of kids, because we need that space, particularly in our public schools, to be a place of safety, a place of health, a place of engagement, a place where people feel free to express themselves, to think openly, because that's what we need in a democracy. And so bringing this back, it's to hopefully say, if you're out there listening to this and saying, we're not telling you we don't want you to be a teacher, we're actually saying these are the things that are contributing actually to, and maybe you as a neighbor of a local public school, what can you do to say, I don't like the atmosphere and the conditions and the concerns that I'm hearing teachers are feeling about this, because the reality is if the classrooms in my local community aren't safe, thriving spaces, my community's not going to be a safe, thriving space. And I think here now we're kind of asking people to not put out a warning about don't become a teacher, but put out a call to say this is the time where we need more teachers to be healthy. And those of you who are out there, we want you to engage in this, because this is the place where, you know, we can really make a difference in the world.
And Johnny, if I could say, just adding on to that, what can you say that for every skittish coward like me who gets turned off by this story will encourage problem solvers and people who want to be part of change and making things better?
Well, I think that's a great segue, Jacob. And Tim, I couldn't have said it better. So great summary there of like what our hopes and, you know, purpose is for talking about this is, Jacob, I'd say that it's exciting because people in classrooms, people becoming teachers, people that are teachers, school leaders out there, principals are having these conversations or ought to be having these conversations to be part of the solution, not to just kind of say, well, that's just how it is. That's just what it means to be a teacher. And Jacob, I'd say that's kind of the decision we have to make as leaders in education. And so that's kind of what I say is like, come join and be one of those leaders, be part of the productive change. You know, don't be part of the sort of age old culture of say, well, that's just teaching. You know, if you're not, you know, experiencing health problems and stress and all these things, well, then you're not doing good teaching.
If you're not on your second divorce, my goodness.
Yeah. And so it's really transformative. This is a time to think about what is the labor necessary, like Timmy say, to strengthen democracy through public education? And what does it mean to, you know, have those conditions improve, to be a voice of that, to be able to teach? Just focusing on that one word, which is an action verb, right? Teach. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a teacher? Well, so that we can teach. So how do we make those conditions more conducive to teaching? And, you know, it spans so much. So keep listening here at Busted Pencils, because, Tim, I think all the topics that we, you know, hammer down on are part of what teachers are concerned about. You know, about why are you constantly saying our students are behind? Why does it feel like no matter what we do, you know, we're hammered in terms of like by the media, in terms of not doing enough, not being well prepared, we feel like we are, we need more support. So by and large, I think the positive upswing here is that teachers know this, they're talking about it, and they're correcting folks saying, actually, that isn't what it means to be a teacher.
Yeah,
let's make this better for everyone. All of us get stronger when teacher working conditions are better. And surprisingly, Tim, the solution isn't more pay. So that we're not talking about this like you often hear people say, like, well, teachers need to realize like this is what their job is. They have this many months up, blah, blah, blah. They can't ask for more money. I mean, pay is related, but it's not the number one concern. So we'll keep digging into this, Tim. Great conversation today. Awesome Saturday.
Yeah. So, you know what, though? Hey, it's time for your moment of zen. History can untie our minds, our bodies, our disposition to move, to engage life rather than contemplating it as an outsider. It can do this by widening our view to include the silent voices of the past so that we look behind the silence of the present.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils broadcast today. And remember, you can grab great podcasts chocked full of more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website. Hey, don't be late for homeroom on Monday, and make sure you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. And of course, just like today, you can catch every Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible.
Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Police and fire crews responding to an explosion in Palm Springs, California this afternoon. Dispatched calls captured on Broadcastify.
We've got a loud explosion outside the city. We have a black cloud of smoke coming up.
Authorities say it appears multiple buildings are damaged. The governor's office describing it as a health facility. The FBI also on scene. Severe storms leaving a path of destruction from Texas to New Jersey. Strong winds and reported tornadoes blamed for more than two dozen deaths. Kentucky, the hardest hit with at least 18 dead. And in St. Louis, Mayor Kara Spencer estimates some 5,000 buildings were damaged.
I haven't seen a storm like this, not in the city of St. Louis in my lifetime.
President Trump in an online post says he will hold a phone call with Russia's President Vladimir Putin Monday and then Ukraine's President Zelensky after direct talks on a ceasefire deal between both countries fell apart on Friday. This is ABC News. It is